Excuse me, Pastor Bonnet, we cannot hear you at all.
Amen. Thank you so very much for allowing me to know that I've been talking for the past 5 minutes or so, amen, without anybody hearing me, amen. Thank God for our station manager being on here. Queen, we bless the name of the Lord for your diligence and working. I have been, that's why the Bible said, watch as well as pray. Amen. Amen. I hadn't gave a whole prayer and amen and didn't even look at the phone to see that I had myself muted, because before the program, I was doing things that would have made noise during the song entry. Amen. So allow me just to backtrack. Amen. Amen. For those of you, we're talking about homecoming. The book of Jude, around that 21st chapter, tell us to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Heavenly Father, as the airplane I was in descended through the clouds to land, the ride became bumpy. The plane shook as the lashing of the rain beat upon it. Amen. The plane shook. Amen, amen. After it dipped below the clouds, sometimes in the midst of our stormy life, while we're flying through this life, while we're on our way to our destination, we run into storms, amen. But the beautiful things about a storm, even in the midst of the greatest of storms, the sun is still shining, amen. Amen. The sun sits on the outside of the world. Amen. And most times, the cloudy days just cover our sight of the sun. Amen. That means our circumstances, our situation sometimes make us not able to see the S-U-N. And guess what? Speaking of the S-U-N, amen, I'm also talking about the S-O-N, because just like the S-U-N is always shining, so is our big S-U-N. Amen. He's always shining. Amen. Even in our darkest of situations and circumstances, he is shining. Amen, somebody. And amen. So as we descend and come to our landing, you know, we meet our family, amen, there to welcome us in. And that gives me encouragement to know that one day I'm going to get to those pearly gates, and my family that gone on before me, and those of of faith have gone on before us, amen, shall be there to meet us as we enter into that eternal bliss with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are encouraged. No matter what the storm looked like, we know that the big S-O-N is always shining. Amen. Amen. So your weeping may endure for a night, but remember, your joy cometh in the morning. That's a promise. Amen. Amen. I don't care what kind of storms we've had in this world. All of our storms are just for a moment. Amen. Just for a season. Amen. Well, after that storm, you know, the real process is not so much just surviving the storm. Amen. It's the process, the work that we have to do after the storm, because so many different storms devastate things, amen, cause many chaos, cause many destruction, and the work become definitely extraneous, amen. And sometimes in our life, you know, we've gone through some real storms that have made chaos, oh Lord, help us today, have made life for us a season of chaos when we didn't know which was up and which was down, left or right. We were just in the midst of it, amen. But knowing that it's over now, amen, the storm is over now. Now it's time to clean up what we got to clean up, amen, amen. And so whatever your situation may be, understand I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, amen. And that's my word of encouragement for you on this Monday afternoon. God bless you once again, you, and yes, even you. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. And I'm so glad that you took the time to come and share with us as we go to Sunday school. And yeah, I know it's Monday, amen, but it's still Sunday school, amen. It's still school in the Word of God. Hey, what else? Where else can you go and get free education concerning the Bible, learning the Bible? Amen. It's programs like this that offer opportunity to go through the scripture and to understand what they mean, how they mean for us today, and how they relate to us, and so that we will understand the nature of our God. Amen. The beautiful thing about the Bible is the Bible is just not for a personal interpretation. Amen. The scriptures are not just for one person or one individual, but they're for all of us. Amen. They are there for all of us. And so it is our job as we study the scriptures, amen, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. We get to know the nature of our God. Amen. He tells us that he's the God that tells the end before the beginning began. That means there were things concerning Christ that foretold in the Bible long before his arrival on the earth. Amen. And long before he was crucified, the Bible tells us what was going to happen even before his crucifixion, even tells us what type of death he was going to experience. And so when we look and examine the life of Jesus Christ, whether we look from it from a biblical standpoint or a historical standpoint, we understand that he fulfilled the prophecies concerning him. Amen. And so we're going to talk about Jesus tonight. Now, last week, we talked about Jesus cleanses the temple. Amen. And we talked about that, and we talked about that. We was in the book of Mark as we shared that. Amen. So make sure you have your Bibles tonight, because I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. So if you don't have your Bibles before you, I will be reading the scriptures. Amen. But I'm going to need you to take pen and paper and write these scriptures down. Why? It is important for you to know it for your own self. Don't just take my word. Amen. Amen. I'm reading the word, and I'm going to give you the best that I know how to do. But you need to know it for your own self. Amen. Because you have a circle of influence that God needs you to share these truths with. Amen. And so certain things that we do in the church, amongst many church groups, people don't understand why we do it and what we are doing those things for. When we celebrate Palm Sunday, they have no idea what that really means. But today's lesson going to share with us why that was so significant and what was the importance of it. Amen. And we as a faith community, when we celebrate in recognition of that day, what we're celebrating, what we're remembering, what we're reflecting on and why. And these things are so very important for us in our Christian journey. Remember, the Apostle Peter told us, be ye always ready to give an answer for the reason and the hope that lies within us. Amen. And so don't just be someone that's doing stuff in the church and not knowing why you do them. Amen. Amen. Because some traditions are just that. They're just traditions. Amen. They have no real bearings on salvation. They're just observance. Amen. And some people may condemn you or condemn you for doing it and condemn you that you do it. But you have to understand the Bible teaches us, let no one condemn you of what holy day you observe. Yeah, that's in the Bible. It's really in there. Amen. When you do these days of observance, they are days that you have made to be sacred or holy in your eyes for the reason you make them. And so although the world may celebrate Easter with a bunny rabbit and some eggs, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Christian resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Eggs have nothing to do. And when you understand where that spirit came from, you may be offended and say, well, I'm never going to celebrate Easter again. But I want you to know that with everything that's good being done on any day, there was also something bad being done. You're not going to stop celebrating good days. That means, for an example, let me just give a strong example. How many of us celebrate our wedding anniversaries or our birthdays? Many of us realize and celebrate our parent birthday, especially if we had a close connection with them, like our mother or father, that brought us up and loved on us and celebrated us through life. We often reflect on their birthday, their day of birth now, just their day of birth. And we make every year that date come about a day of celebration. Amen. And we remember that day, and we make it sacred because it's our parents' birthdays. And we're not even going to get into federal holidays of this event or that event and all of that. But along with all of our birthdays, if you check the history record somewhere in the world, there was a bad movement taking place during that day. There was also some good movements taking place during that day. Do you stop celebrating your birthday, your anniversary, because something else bad happened on that day? No. No, you don't. Because that day have a different significant meaning for you. And there's scripture there that concerns that helps us to understand this is how we're to handle that. If you eat certain meats as a sacrifice of eating food to a certain idol or god. In other words, we're going to pick pork because that's one of the major controversies. And you serve this certain another god other than the true and living God, or you recognize a god that's different from the true and living God, the God of creation. And that's your choice to do that. You having dinner and you're serving food and I'm hungry, if you tell me, say, hey, we're going to have this celebration as we observe the dead or this god or this deity, I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to eat it because we're celebrating something and I don't need your conscience. Not that the food is bad. It's the why we're eating will be bad. But if you say, hey, man, we're doing this, but we see that you're hungry, would you like this food? I'm going to receive the food for nutrition value to my body. to eat on behalf of eating the food. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. And so if you don't tell me that, hey, this celebration is for evil, then my conscience is clear. Because I didn't eat for the celebration of evil. Amen. I ate for the celebration of life. And that's how we are to do with even holidays. Amen. Now, I hope I made that real clear. I don't want to take too much time to deal with that today, but maybe somebody needed to hear that. Amen. Because so when we talk about Easter, we're talking about Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Because our Lord and Savior was resurrected. Amen. He's the first resurrected to be the resurrected of the dead. Now, he is not the first to be given new life. We know that he himself raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus was one of those reasons why they wanted to crucify him even more, because he was raising people from the dead, not just healing people's bodies. And so we understand that that's what happened. Amen. Amen. But Lazarus later on died, and Lazarus is in the grave. But out of all that have been resurrected from the grave, only Christ is still alive. Amen. And that's what we read when we read Revelation that John gave us concerning Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. Amen. Amen. So let's get into it today. We're talking about the triumphant and victorious. Amen. Triumphant and victorious. Of whom? Of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In our observance today, we're going to observe how Jesus was treated before his crucifixion. You know, Palm Sunday is when most churches begin to pass out palm leaves, little branches of palm leaves, because what they began to do is to celebrate Jesus, amen, and we'll get into all those details. So those of you that's taking notes, Zechariah chapter 9. Now, we're reading verse 9, but if you need clarity, understand that that Zechariah was prophesying here in verses 1 through verses 7 there at least. Might be 8, but verse 1 through 7, he is prophesying to them one thing. And then when he gets to verse 9, he begins to tell them the triumphant or victory that's going to take place. Amen. And so the prophecy changed because he starts off with the words rejoice. Amen. Also, we're going to be reading Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Remember, last week we was in Mark. Amen. We talked from Mark 11, amen, verses 15 through 19. And so what we are actually going to be discussing now will be what happened before verse 15. Okay, and Mark, amen. So the count gives us a hold of. And tonight I will be reading from the King James Version, amen. And if the Lord leads me to read from any other version, I will at the later time, amen, if we read the scriptures, amen. So once again, a prophet triumph, okay, a prophet and a triumphant. Now, that's kind of a title heading here. The contemporary Haggai, Zechariah, began his prophecy career around 520 B.C. during the reign of King Darius. At the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, it is the longest among all the minor prophets, though the first 8 chapters of the book are dated. The 9th chapter mentions no date. So we're not sure of the gap between that teaching. Amen. However, most scholars believe a significant amount of time passed between the 8th and 9th chapter. So when we get to chapter 9, amen, it begins a section of the text where God progressively saves and restores his people. So in other words, they're in a state of bondage, amen. And so by the time we get to chapter 9, it's talking about the salvation or saving of the people. That verse for us today, again, we will be reading that from King James Version of the Bible, amen. And that, again, that is Zechariah, the 9th chapter and the 9th verse. Amen. Old Testament. Okay. So just a little bit more, particular chapter. The author begins by exhorting the daughters of Zion and the daughters of Jerusalem to rejoice. This is how they was being referred to in the scripture text. Here, the formal represent the inhabitants of Jerusalem, while the latter represent the nation of Israel as a whole. Amen. The king had one characteristic of most that most would not associate with a reigning authority of humility. In other words, when you thought about a king, you didn't think about humility. Amen. You didn't think about being humble. Amen. Meek and lowly. When you thought about a king, a new king always was presented one of pride, boastfulness, hardiness. Amen. And so when the description there began to describe how he was going to be coming in, it was one not of a conquering king. Amen. Not one riding in on a armored horse. Amen. Amen. Not one that's coming in on a stallion. Amen. As kings that went out to battle, amen, to win a war. So that horse wasn't dressed with armor gear to protect it while it was taking the rider into battle, amen. But this description talks about him coming lowly, humble on a donkey, amen. Amen. And the word king, in the King James, it's going to say ass, so the preacher is not cussing. Amen. Amen. Or the colt and donkey or a horse. Amen. So the Israelites was instructed not to trust in the majestic war horse. Amen. And so if you go back and read Isaiah 31, verse 1, amen, it gives you that complete thought that they were already instructed not to trust that type of attitude. But however, for whatever reason, tradition had been looking towards someone to come in as a conquering ruler. But the scripture had already reaffirmed that they was not to be looking for that. Amen. They were to look for someone to come in lowly. Amen. So the scripture that we're reading here from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king." That word thy king means your king. Amen. So in the King James, when you see thy, that means yours. Amen. Okay. So thy king, your king, cometh to thee. Thee means all of you. It refers to not just one person, but to the group. It's coming to thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Amen. And so after this proclamation and prediction against the nation, you know, that happens. And again, verses 1 through 8, Zechariah's turn to the fate of Israel. And so we see the fate of Israel from verse 9 through 17. Now, you are encouraged to read all of those verses up to 17 in your personal reading, amen, to give you a total picture of what was being prophesied then and for that time and for this event that was going to take place, amen. Amen. So he declared that the Lord will save his people by protecting them in battle and establish peace amongst the nations. Whether the king who brings victory for Israel is a human king or the Lord himself, it was unclear to them in the prophecy. But in either case, God is involved in delivering Israel and establishing peace. In other words, God did not abandon them. He was going to be there for them. So this address to the daughter of Zion and the daughters of Jerusalem was symbolic to them. It to symbolize because Zion was located in the southern eastern part of Jerusalem. So it was letting them know he was covering their whole region. He was covering even those that were scattered. Amen. And so in life, we may be all scattered here, there, and everywhere, but God's word is there to cover all of us. Amen. To bring all of us in reconciliation back to himself. Amen. And so that's the importance of the text. Amen. Amen. Now we jump over to Matthew chapter 21, and the first three verses here. I'll read those, amen, and we're going to read 11 verses, but the first three verses, amen, that we're on, amen, the first three verses here, as we begin to read them, amen, it's, verse 1 says, and when they draw nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethsaida, unto the Mount of Olives, Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go to the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass. That word ye is you. Amen. You shall find an ass tied and a coat of her. Loose them and bring them to me. Amen. And if any man say, unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. Amen. So one, just one animal. Amen. Many of us, when we see that stream, we only picture one animal. But when we go back to scripture here, and that's not a big thing, but just to show you how sometimes when we summarize certain things, we summarize certain things and leave out certain details. But here it is, he sent two disciples. And the reason why he sent two, because there was two animals. So, yes, one could have probably successfully had no problem carrying bringing back two animals. But he sent two disciples, amen. And I'm only emphasizing that because later on I'm going to ask the question to see if your mind remembers what the text says, amen. I'm going to ask you about the name of the town that they stopped at before they got to Jerusalem. You forgot already. It's in verse 1. Amen. 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 And how many disciples he sent? You forgot already. It's still in verse 1. So let's pay attention to the text. He tells them to go and to straightway. In other words, they didn't have to search hard. He sent them, in other words, in the direction he sent them, what he sent them to get was going to be right there. And they were going to be able to identify quickly where he was sending them and to whom or what. And as they begin to loose the coats, amen, the people ask, hey, what are you doing? You know, you know, in other words, whoever was responsible for holding on to the coats, they was on an assignment too. And a lot of times what we don't understand is our assignment connects us to other people. Amen. And so although they didn't know whom they was going to, What? They just know the direction in which they were going to. And so they knew that they were going to fulfill a purpose of God. And in order to fulfill that purpose of God, they was following their instructions. But what we have to realize, God was often send us to do certain things and give us instructions to follow. And when he gives us those instructions to follow, we ourselves, amen, are to follow that instruction. Amen. And so we don't know how God do what's called connecting flights. Amen. Remember the prayer about the airplane? Oftentimes our airplane gives us connecting flights. In other words, the plane that we got on today wasn't designed to get us all the way to our destination. We had to get off. Amen. And where we got off at, many times you have what's called a layover. Amen. There's a spacing gap in there where you have to wait on the connection. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's a short connection time in between, and then sometimes there's a long connection, a long layover. Amen. But in any case, in order for you to get to your destination, you have to follow the set instruction of going. Amen. And that's what we saw here as the disciples obeyed him. Amen. And they got there. Amen. And so as the scripture from Zacharias was being fulfilled, it explained what type of animal, amen, that the prophet or Jesus was going to be riding in. He was the Savior. Amen. And so we have to remember that he was coming in a certain way. Amen. He wasn't coming in to start war. He wasn't in to come this season was not him to be starting a war, but him releasing peace. So he came in on a donkey. He came in on the coat of a donkey or horse. Amen. Came in on something that was humble. Amen. And so that's what that represented. Okay? All right. So now the prophecy is being fulfilled. So we're going to read verse 4. Verse 4 and 5 says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Okay, what was done? The disciples were sent to loose an animal, to bring it to him. And if any man say unto you, you just let them, the Lord has need of them. And so the Lord had need of the animal. Amen. And so they followed the instruction. And so verse 5 says, tell ye the daughters of Sion, behold, the king cometh unto thee. Amen. Meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt of the foal of an ass. So Matthew's interpretation of the scene in order to explain this event was a fulfillment of Zacharias' prophecy. Remember, when we're talking about Jesus Christ to other people with other religious background understanding, we're proving to them in Scripture how Jesus fulfilled all the things concerning his arrival, concerning his birth, his death, his resurrection. All of these things was prophesied in the Old Testament. Different prophets of old, before his coming, long before, hundreds of years before he ever came. Amen. Remember, there's over 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. So there was a real big gap from when we began to go back to the earlier prophets. Amen. Daniel, Isaiah, amen, even Jeremiah, those that were prophesying concerning him. And even Zacharias that was prophesying before about Christ, amen. These men was led by the Holy Spirit to add these words into their message to the people, amen, in their day and time. And so it was to give them hope, to give them assurance. Amen. It was bringing correction in that day and time. It was bringing understanding. Amen. And as we look back on the scriptures today, we'll look back. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. Amen. Amen. We're able to read the Bible, and we can look back with a 20/20 vision. Amen. In other words, we can see more clearly now what they missed. Amen. What they misunderstood. Amen. And so Palm Sunday, before Christ was crucified, when we look back, we see that the city had gathered because they had recognized Jesus as a mighty prophet. Remember, he was doing great miracles for them. Amen. So in him doing miracles and all the things that he was doing, these people was excited. They was hopeful. Amen. But their tradition was teaching them something. The tradition, the people of the temple, the priests of that time and the scribes or Pharisees of that time had other teachings. And so the people didn't know how to receive Christ, even though he was fulfilling scripture. And oftentimes they were, and it's amazing how they were asking for a sign, and he was, and when they asked for a sign many times, it was right after he had just performed the great miracle. I had already performed the sign. And you were like, and when you read it, they, you were like, man, are these people feeble or what was going on? Amen. But a lot of times when you are set on your preconceived notions, it makes you blind to the truth. It makes you blind to what's right before your eyes. Amen. And so that's why Jesus said concerning the scribes and Pharisees that they be the blind leading the blind. Mm. All right, let me get back on task. Let me get back on task. Amen. Amen. So verse 6, this is the crowd worshiping the king. Amen. Amen. So as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowd, they threw down their coats and branches along the road and showed a praise in him. Their action honored him, and they greeted Jesus with a shout, singing unto him the Hosanna or songs from the palm. Songs of songs, amen, or the hymns of the songs from the book of Psalms. So for those of you that don't mind homework and don't mind looking at scriptures to see how wonderful God set this thing up, I want you, my friend, let's stop real quick, and I'm gonna open up my particular Bible here and go, and we'll go through a few of those in the book of Psalms. But we'll start there. There's all the things that they were saying in this event are covered by David when he was writing Psalms. And so Psalms 113 through Psalms 118 are some of the things that they were saying. And so let's go to Psalm division number 113. Now, in Psalms, we don't call those chapters because they are Psalms, so we use the word division. Amen. And so you won't hear me say chapter concerning the book of Psalms. Amen. If you're still saying chapter, we're not throwing stones at you. We're just bringing correction to the understanding. Amen. So these were Psalms. These were hymns, amen, that David wrote. Amen. Amen. And for the most part, almost all of them was accredited to David, King David, if you would. Amen. So the 113th division and through the 118th division. Psalms 113 reads this: Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the servant of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory about the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high? Who humbles himself? He what? He humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the dunghill. Glory to God. The dunghill, that was a dirty place. You know, that's just like saying your the dunghill, you know, that's where you put the piles of manure and stuff. The dunghill, glory. Dung. You think about the word. That he may set him with princes. Amen. God would take you out of a messy place and put you in a place of high esteem. That's a mighty God. Amen. Who loves his people, that he will cleanse us up. Amen. Out of the dunghill. Amen. And put us in the places of princes. That means in the palace. Amen. In fine clothing, in good company. Amen. And a place where we can be respected. Amen. Even with the princes of his people, he maketh the barren woman to keep her house. Amen. Even though you don't have no children, he's going to still give you something to be happy about, something to be proud about. He'll fill you with joy. And you may not have a natural child, but he'll give your children somebody to still bring up and to be a joyful mother of her children. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. He'll fulfill that life. Amen. Women, don't be mad because you're a homemaker. Nick that home with pride because he maketh the barren woman to keep her house and to be a joyful mother of children. Amen. You may not have your natural children, but there's some children that you can have that's in your circle. You know, you may be a daycare worker, you may be a nurse, you may just have other kids in the neighborhood that you speak well to, that always look for you to say a kind word to, but bless the name of the Lord, because you're the one that encouraging them to be who God has called them to be. Amen. Amen. And so as we enjoy that, we have to thank God for giving us that type of understanding. Amen. Psalm 1:8, that was Psalm 113. Now, I'm not going to read all of the particular scripture, but I want to read at least one or two verses from each one from here on. Amen. Psalms 114 says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people, a strange land, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel is dominion. And so God began to let them know that I brought you out of bondage, and as I brought you out of bondage, amen, and out of a place of a strange language, amen. In other words, sometimes our language, amen, get confused with those of this current generation. Amen. How does it get confused? Because we hang with this generation. Remember, I was talking yesterday, the scripture tells us that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. I notice even today how the language of today is far different from the language when I was growing up. Amen. How people use certain words. Amen. I hear the young folks now use certain words that was offensive. Amen. But they use them as adjectives. Amen. And they have no offense to it at all. And they say it as if it's a real adjective. And it's very peculiar when you hear in certain conversation today. And a lot of times you want to correct it, but you realize that in their talking, that's just how they're talking. But God would deliver us from even misguided words. Amen. Psalm 115 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for the mercy and for thy truth's sake. Therefore shall the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. And they began to just praise God on so many different levels. Amen. And so many people that had gathered began to just offer up these praises unto God. Amen. While Jesus is coming, what we would call today as a parade. Amen. He was being paraded through Jerusalem as the king that came lowly and humble. Amen. To restore or to bring forth salvation. Verse 116 division of Psalms says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Glory. And so these are verses that begin to echo in their hearing. They began to resound because they was rejoicing about God. And now Psalms 117, I don't have two verses. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nation. Praise him, all ye people. For his mercy, kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth what? Forever. Praise ye the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Amen. And the 108th division of Psalm says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good. He is good. He is good because his mercy endures forever. Amen. And that's a good thing, because sometimes we often fall short of fulfilling God's will for our lives, but he still have mercy on us. So because his mercy endures forever, let Israel now say that his mercy endures. In other words, we as people, amen, are to say, amen, that God's mercy endures forever. So let the house of Aaron say now that the mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord keepeth my part with them that help me. Therefore, glory to God, therefore shall I see my despair, amen, upon them that hate me. Glory. It is better to trust in the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, glory, than to have put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but the name of the Lord, that's that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Amen. I know y'all say, man, why he do it like that? Man, I can't help it. Amen. I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fires of thorn. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them that have trust or sore at me, that I may fall. But the Lord help me. The Lord is my strength and the song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does vanity. Amen. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Amen. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does, again, valiantly. I shall not die. That's the verse I was trying to get to. Verse 17. I like this because my wife she often quote this particular text or verse of text in her prayers. She said, ye. But this was a lot of times, but I want you to hear this, verse 17. Amen. I shall not die. That's what we have to understand. I shall not die, but live. Why? Yeah, or what you're going to do with this life and declare the works of the Lord. And oftentimes, that's what she's quoting it in her prayer when she's praying over people. I hear her saying, you shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. I hear her say that. She said it with such authority, till they realize sometimes how that resonates in the atmosphere. Amen. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go therein, and I will praise the Lord. This gate unto the Lord, unto the righteousness, shall enter. The righteousness, which the righteousness shall enter. Amen. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Amen. And this is another verse that we very much need to get to. The stone. Some of y'all that have been in church a while, you done heard the preacher talk about the cornerstone. Amen. The stone which the builders rejected. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. That's that cornerstone. Amen. You got some churches called Cornerstone Baptist Churches right up the street from me. Amen. Amen. In other words, the stone, that the very solid foundation, amen, that the people rejected, now it become the chief cone, the chief or the primary. The cornerstone is how they build a building. It was decided which direction the building to be on the angle. It set in line the instruction for how high or how wide or how long that building could be able to be built. It was the reason why it was built right. The measurements came from it. And so the stone which the builders refused, that's Jesus, has become the headstone, that's Jesus. Amen. Of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. Who's doing? The Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Glory to God. Blessed be. Prosperity is relevant. Prosperity is relevant. Don't let nobody get you away from prosperity teaching. We see it all through the Bible. Amen. And so, but there's a way to teach it. We're not just being prosperous so that we can say to others we got, you don't. No, no. But send now prosperity. It wasn't just for me, but it's for us, all of us. Amen. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has shown us light. Thine the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. And I know I took a lot of time just to read those, but scripture is so inclined to when we understand that God wants us to understand his nature, that he put it in his scriptures. Amen. So when we study the word of God, we'll see that everything happened for a reason. It happened within God's timing, God's planning. And so this event that took place was them to bring honor as God had intended. And so verse 6 through 11, we're going to read those in their entirety. Amen. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Remember, they had just went into the city. And they saw the coat, they saw the ask, and they began to unloose them. Amen. And so we're here at verse 7, and and the people asked them, what you're doing? Amen. And they said, the master had need of thee. Okay. So verse 7, and brought the ass and the coat and put on them their clothes. And they set him thereon. In other words, they didn't put a saddle, amen, of any kind on the animal. They put on clothing, you know, cloth. They made it so he was riding on borrowed animals. Amen. These didn't belong to him. He was animals of humility. Amen. Amen. A low esteem. Amen. And they put their clothes upon them and set him thereon. Amen. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. That means the people began to throw down their garments on the ground. Not just the palm leaves. I know we celebrate that and we remember, but we don't, because he's already came. We don't have to do that. But this is how eventful this event was, that they threw their garments in the way. Amen. Amen. And other cut down branches from the tree. We know palm trees was in that region because that's where we get the palm tree. We know what kind of trees was in that region. And straw them in the way. In other words, they cut the branches and they began to peel off the different branches, the pieces of the palm leaf, amen, and throw them out towards the Lord as he parade down the street. So this was a mighty event. Amen. Amen. That a great multitude, not just some people showed up, but a whole lot of people. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried unto him, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who? That means as he was moving from, what did I say the first city was? Where did he stop at? Was you paying attention? Did you pay attention? Verse number one. They went and they stopped at the same. That's right. BETHPHAGE. Amen. Amen. Somebody paying attention. Amen. Amen. How many disciples did he send to get the two animals? He sent two. All right, we paying attention. We paying attention. Amen. 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 So he picked up more than one animal. Amen. According to the text. I know we always just show the one that he's riding on in our pictures, in our animation, our reenactments. Amen. But he picked up two according to that text. Amen. Amen. Because it said them. So it was at least two. Amen. Amen. And so he picked up two animals. Amen. Amen. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. The prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. You know, Nazareth was considered the hood. What we call today the hood. The archaeologists said that in this day and time, it showed that Nazareth only had about 11 or 12 actual built houses. Everything else was tent-based. So when they heard he came from Nazareth, that's why they tried to say, can any good thing come from what? Nazareth? Because Nazareth was considered the low of the low. Even though his family was well known for being, his father was, his earthly father was known for being a carpenter. So one of those homes may have been his birth home. Amen. The home of his upbringing, rather. Amen. Because of his earthly father's profession. Amen. Amen. And so when we look through the scripture, amen, and there's so much more, amen, to talk about this, but I want to go to the mic now, amen, before I go any further, amen, and see if there's any questions, amen, concerning what we have read so far and how we are following along. Amen. 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 God bless you for being on the line today. Amen. I don't know, my sister is showing me something. Okay, there we go. I don't know why I did that. Here we go. I apologize here. Have some delay in my device here. But God bless you on today. Amen. This is Pastor Bonnet. Amen. Are you enjoying the message on the teaching on today? So there are any questions that you may have on how you're doing. Amen. First of all, how you doing? How your mental pray properly is two thumbs up. Amen. Or at least one. Are there any questions or any comments as we continue to talk about the journey of Christ before his crucifixion?
Amen. I didn't have any questions. Two thumbs up for me, four paws up for Diamond, and my crown is sitting just right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Queen, and thank you for catching me very early in the program, because I had zoned in on what I was going to talk about and didn't realize that I had muted myself on this side. Amen. So I'm thankful that you were there to catch that early. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I heard Six voice in the back. He's talking the trumpet. Hey, Six, how you doing today?
Two. Zero,
doing good, Pastor. Doing good.
Two, five, one, two.
Amen.
Doing good. Great message. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. When I got a question, and this may be not just for you, but for anybody.
Okay.
Yeah. When you all are thinking, when you all are thinking about a king riding in a city, do you not think of a king? How would you feel that to see a king riding in on a donkey versus a stallion or great horse with all the decoratives that we associate with kingdomship?
I would say he's very humble. Knowing who he is, his transportation doesn't matter.
Okay. That's us now. You know, can you imagine then, though, where every king that has ever conquered have come in riding high on the hog, as we kind of use today, riding big time, you know?
Yeah, he definitely set the standard. That's like him coming in the Pinto.
I heard somebody use that word Pinto before. Amen. So he came in on the Pinto. People don't even know what a Pinto. They so long gone. That Pinto was a little small car hatchback.
Yeah, we actually had a Pinto. It was yellow with pea green interior seats.
Oh wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think my mom had a red one.
Yeah, I can never forget that car because genius here. I don't know why, but I got to blame my sister and them because they take your glasses off. I didn't want to squish them, you know. And I, you know, at this time I had my afro.
Oh, Lord.
And I didn't have that little band at the time. If I did, I took it off. You know, the band that used to keep your glasses on?
Uh-huh.
So they wouldn't fall off. So this particular, so my brother said, well, you could hang it where the seatbelt goes and, like, hang one leg. And I said, like, I know what I'm doing, boy. And I said, okay, so we get to our destination. I'm like, okay, well, where are my glasses at? Well, apparently somehow they fell down in the compartment where the seatbelt pulls from.
Mm.
And there was my glasses gone.
Torn up, yeah.
Yeah, don't know where they went. Don't know if it was inside the car. Because, I mean, didn't nobody know how to take the car apart at that time to see if they were. He wasn't that genius yet. And so we don't know if they fell out, you know, out of the car. You know why driving? You know, because we don't know where that seatbelt thing led to. We don't know if it led down to the ground or what. But nonetheless, I lost a pair of glasses just like that.
Wow, I seen somebody take a Pinto and flipped it, man. Put some big wide tires on the backside and had that little tilt. So the back of it had a little sit up, almost like a dune buggy. Y'all remember? Not Speed Racer. What that was? The other cartoon where they was in the dune buggy, and he had the big tires on the backside.
Talking about Speed Racer.
Not Speed Racer. The other one.
Was it Shaggy with Scooby Doo?
No, it wasn't Shaggy. But it was. I cannot think the name of it right now, but they had that dune buggy, and that dune buggy that car was tall. Yeah, remember
PT and the Bandit, something in the Bandit, PT and the Bandit.
Yeah, something like that. I just know the car tall.
Yeah,
I think that's PT and the Bandit. The tires would get big, and this guy had.
Oh, you talking about Herbie Lovebug? Herbie Lovebug.
No. That was Herbie Lovebug was the actual live version of from Disney, but this was a cartoon from up under Hanna-Barbera. It's from their group. But anyway, yeah, I don't see people take that thing look good.
made
the Pinto look good. I might think about getting a Pinto. That thing look good. Can't look good.
Yeah, we got to find out the name of that cartoon, though. But I think it was. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, that's all right. But anyway, so when thinking about a savior, someone coming to free us from oppression, coming to give us back our land, to restore our dignity, when we think about someone who has the authority or power to do that, even today, we don't think of no one or no country in its using its simple forms. We use them, when we think about them, we think about them as they using their strong arm. They're best vehicles. We don't think of, you know, we think of them coming in with the big tanks, you know, the big aircraft carriers, you know. We don't think about them coming in on a rowboat. When we relate to someone victorious, you know, we don't see the person coming in with humility. Amen. We see we see someone coming in boastful. They look like they got the power to win. They look like they got the power to overcome. You know, they got armies on top of armies. They got armies on top of armies to help them in their pursuit for victory. But here it is. He comes in, and he's riding on a donkey that don't have a saddle. It just got some clothes over the top, you know, something that a humble man like Mary, when Joseph was bringing her into the city, you know, you know, we think of something simple, but we and here it is, they are today praising this prophet because he came and he was doing things in their midst. And remember, he was healing them. He was delivering them. He was educating them because the education system was, remember, only the Jewish boys was taught the Torah between as they began to learn to speak up until about age 11 and 12. So that's all the education that they was given. And unless they went to a school to learn more, they weren't considered educated. And because Jesus didn't go through their schooling, they was always amazed, how did he know more than just the Torah? How did he know the word Isaiah? How did he know the word of Zacharias? How they didn't realize he was the word. So you can imagine the scribes and Pharisees are they are puzzled. They are mad because here it is, this man is coming doing things that they can't do, and he's saying things to them that they don't even understand. Because he's coming against many of their traditions in his teaching, because they wasn't. Remember the woman at the well. She said to the men in her city, "Is this not he?" In other words, the scripture's been telling us that we are to look for the Messiah. She said, "In all the things, in all the men that have come before now, none have done what this man has been able to do. Isn't this him?" You know, and that was her witness. Is this not him? Is this not the right messenger? Is this not the one that we are to be looking towards to come to liberate us? And when they came out to see, they came out because they had an expectation. Remember, these were men of Samaria, which Jesus wasn't sent to go into Samaria. But that woman, she met him on the outside of the city, and she took the message inside the city, and the men came outside of the city. That's how we used to do revivals. We would come to the outside of a city, and people would come from outside of the inner city to hear the message of the cross. Amen. In a tent revival. Here it is. We see Jesus doing a revival in that text for people that came out to see, was he the one? Amen. And here in today's message, we see the people came out in a great multitude to celebrate him as the one. And the sad story about that is a week later, they're going to watch him being crucified because he is the one.
Hello, everyone.
Go ahead. You got a question?
Yes, I just wanted to make a statement.
Oh, yeah, statement, okay.
Yes, when you said that coming out of Nazareth, I don't understand. Well, you were saying it was like 12 houses, and then they all lived
historically
in tents. But would you think that would have been the suburban because they had houses and everybody else was in tents? Houses compared to tents.
Yeah. What,
so you would think that's suburbia.
No, that would be what we call the rural area. Nowadays in Avalacra, we would think a small town. We don't think city. When it relates to, again, no, but I'm saying within their in their city, you think about in a city, you got hundreds and thousands of houses based on the population of the city. So if your population have 1,000 people, you will assume that you got at least 500 homes. Am I right about it, somebody? So
that sounds about right.
You know. So if you got a city, the city is what makes a city. Is it marketplace? What makes a city is its housing district. Now the housing district. In our homes today, in our housing today, if we think about our current society, everybody don't have a brick house. A lot of people got wooden houses. Some people have mobile homes. That would be the ten of yesterday, you know, for real. So you got, and then you got your homeless society that lives in they live in the environment, you know. Remember, the Israelites was displaced. So as they're coming back into places, this area of Nazareth was an impoverished area where some people have migrated to. So maybe it had enough vegetation life there around in that area so people can make shelters for them to cover them from the heat of the day, and they lived in open, and they didn't have solid brick homes. They didn't have homes that where they made their homes. So some people, as you read through the Bible, you see some people homes was connected to the wall that built the city. You know, so that you had certain things over rooftops, but We know Jerusalem had it was one of the little towns around Galilee. And so you have to – I don't have a map to present to everyone that we can all look at, where we could look at that region even today to see how even today, you know, 2,000 years later, as the multitude of people have definitely the world population have definitely greatly increased since that day. You know, today we got nearly 8 billion people on the planet. So it was not so during that day and time, you know. If we had about 3 billion people in that day, we may have had a lot. But we're talking about a small city that maybe had only, and there's a historical record on that. I just don't remember the number of people that was stated in Jerusalem at that time. And there is a historical record of that. I just don't remember what it is, so I don't want to put a number out there that's just going to be far wrong. But that's in study, you know. So it wasn't a large number, but you got and you got to remember at the same time, the Roman Empire is being built and developed and it's growing. So it's up under Roman government. So here it is, this society of people, and you think about today, and we're not going to get into whether or not they're the actual Jews of the Bible. When you think about the Jewish community today, wherever they are in whatever city, they all migrate in one area, and their area is their town, their little area. And they stay within that set area. They buy and sell and trade within themselves, even though they're in or part of the city or another country or up under another mayor, another governor, they're still part of it. So you can think about that as it applies to them in a kingdomship. You know, again, Rome was up under Caesar. Get it out, Bonnie, get it out. And even though it had other kings, those kings was up under the authority of Caesar. So they were still under the authority of the Roman Empire, which was in control. And so a lot of things that Rome demanded, it demanded it for every nation of people under its province, so under its rule. So that's why Greek was the known language for trade. And if you were going to do trading, if you were going to be involved in the marketplace, that was the language that you had to learn. And Rome had adopted the Greek, even though they had overthrown the Greeks when they was in power, but they adopted the Greek theology or their way of thinking, their way of development, and they took and used the principles from the Greek, and they built into their society. They used the good of that, even though they overcame it. And that's the other thing. Whenever a king would take over a land, remember, a king, he always pressed upon the people his language, his rule, his thought, his dominion. So everything had to follow within that order, okay? Amen. And I've come to the end of the program today. Are there any questions concerning the lesson today? Amen. My wife up here, she's pulling up pictures of Pinto. Pintos. She's pulling up old pictures of the Pintos. She's pulling up all the different colors.
You got the yellow one.
You see that yellow one?
Yep.
She got this yellow one. I know the guy had a yellow one. That thing was bad.
It is ours. See if my glasses are in there.
Yeah. Zoom in. See if you see Charles' glasses. He's still looking for them glasses. Amen. Mm. But with any respect, amen, a majestic priest king. That'll be next week. Lord, say the same. We'll be teaching from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 6, Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 14, and St. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, as we begin to talk about that. Remember, when we're reading the scriptures, we're reading, and let's remember that we're not reading a Western book, but we're reading a book that was written from an Eastern understanding and perspective. So a lot of times we try to make it mean what it means to us today. What we have to do is we have to think about what it meant then and apply it today. Think about what happened and how it happened then. And then how can we apply it today? And if we read the scriptures in the Bible, if we take that perspective, we are able to grow stronger by using that particular method in understanding God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Any prayer questions as we conclude today?
I just ask that you keep me and my family lifted in prayer. And when you get a chance, I'd like to get those last three scriptures you just gave again, please.
Amen. 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 Next week, message will be, again, coming out of Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 through 14. And St. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 5.
Got it. Thank you.
And remember, whenever we're reading scriptures like that, it's always good to read any scriptures to before and afterward to ensure that we have the full thought of the texture construct so that we can have a better understanding how we can apply it today. So that helps us to really connect to the Word of God so it has true meaning for us. Amen. A lot of times, and when I say this, a lot of times when I'm if I go to watch a television program or something that I've seen before, and it's season 2, I may just go back to the last episode of season 1, so that I will be reminded why there is a season 2. Now, if I do that to the natural, how much more should I be doing that concerning the things of God? And so that's how I study. It may help some of you in your study. Sometimes it's good for us just go back to the chapter before or the verses before and then read ahead so that we may understand the connection and what the continuation is about. Amen. And that may help us. All right. Well, with that being said, it is 9:30. Once again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Hopefully you got the prayer from earlier that came out of Jude. Amen. And if you're asking what chapter, then you don't know Jude. So if you turn to Jude, you'll see there's only one chapter. Amen. Amen. And so looking forward to seeing you all next time. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you saying thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to learn, to grow, and to develop within your word. Thank you for those that are tuned in, either live today or on the recording. We pray, Lord God, that you will meet them in their needs, Lord God, that you will help them to be prosperous, Lord God, in the things that they venture out in that you have authorized for their lives. And God, as you give us traveling mercy and grace, we say thank you. Thank you for covering us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. We speak health and wealth within our lives. We speak prosperity in our growing and development in the kingdom of God, that we may do all that you purpose for us to do in this world. And we say thank you. We thank you for the Six Eyes Motivational Monday. We thank you for the Six Eyes Network as a whole. And we ask that you continue to bless each of these programs, that it may fulfill your purpose. And for this we say thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God.
Amen.
God bless all of you. Look forward to seeing each of you on another program. God bless.
God bless. Love y'all.
God bless. Love y'all. Love y'all. Good night, America.
Good night.
Good morning.